Father, the first thing we do is we just come to you tonight full of your mercy, full of your joy, full of your strength, and Lord, just full of the worship. Our hearts are worshipful tonight, and we're just reaching out. We desire to experience you, and Lord, just for you to be so real in our midst. And Father, we begin by lifting up Nelda to you tonight, Lord, just touching her body, giving the doctors and everyone that's working with her, even now, supernatural wisdom on what to do and what not to do. Lord, and just even you now, you can heal her liver. You can heal her heart. You can do all those things. If you choose to do so miraculously, Lord, we praise you. And if you decide to do it through the doctors and through medicine and operations, it's fine. We just thank you that you're going to spare her life. And Lord God, she's going to be made whole from this situation. And Lord, tonight we also lift up those poor people in Florida from the horrible floods, and that you would be with the families there as well. And Lord, especially because America is on fire and all the forest fires that are happening and thousands and thousands of people are being displaced in our nation from these horrible forest fires. Lord, just bring a relief, bring rain, bring something to put them out, Father. Just be with those families and be with us now as we enter into your word. And Lord, thank you for making it alive tonight. And thank you for teaching through me. And Lord, thank you that if we sin tonight by word, deed, thought, or action, if we've grieved, quenched, or vexed the Holy Spirit in any way, as we come to the throne of grace and we repent as our hearts are prepared and ready to celebrate communion, Lord, we love you. We thank you that you are present with us now in Jesus' name. And the church says, amen. Let's turn in our Bibles tonight to the Old Testament book of Exodus, and we're going to be in chapter 13. Exodus chapter 13. I want to talk tonight about how to cross the Red Sea. We all have them in our lives, and we need to know how to cross them. Remember that the word Exodus means departure. It means the way out. And the only way out of slavery, the only way out of sin, the only way out of bondage, the only way to be free from the devil, the only way to be free from this world is Jesus Christ. Amen? And the only way out of Egypt is to follow our God. And so we've left off with God has now delivered the children of Israel from bondage. They are getting ready and they are en route leaving. The Exodus is occurring and they have plundered the Egyptians. The last plague is now over. And now we're going to be facing, after chapter 13 here, we'll move into 14 and we're going to talk about how to cross the Red Sea. Let's begin in chapter 13, verse 1 tonight. It says, then the Lord spoke to Moses saying, may I just pause right there? Because here's what happens when we read. We just take it for granted that God is speaking to Moses all the time. Amen. May I say that to you tonight that that's just a miracle to hear from God? It's a miracle. And may I say that God spoke to Moses often, over and over. He heard the audible voice of the Lord. It says in Exodus 33:11, so the Lord spoke to Moses face to face as a man speaks to his friend. Oh, is there anything better than that? Knowing how much God loves us. And you know what? Moses, the deliverer, he's coming to set a people free, to lead a people out of bondage. He's a type of Jesus in the Bible, if you will. And it says, so the Lord said to Moses saying, consecrate or set apart, make holy to me all the firstborn, whatever opens the womb among the children of Israel, both of man and beast. And the reason? It is mine. So those that God redeems, they belong to the Lord. Amen. And that's what he's saying here. So remember all of the firstborn of Israel. And they escaped the 10th plague when the death angel came. And also their animals escaped the plague as well. And so God says, all of those that escaped the 10th plague, they all belong to me now. And so, you know, tonight we're a purchased possession. God has set us apart. We're purchased by the blood of the Lamb. Amen. The Bible tells us so perfectly in Acts 20:28. It tells us that the church of God, which is purchased by Jesus Christ with his own blood, we've been set apart and we belong to the Lord. And it says, and Moses said to the people, remember this day in which you went out of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. And that word out of the house of bondage, it really literally means in Hebrew, out of the slave house, out of the house of death, out of the house of sin, out of the world, by the strength of the hand of the Lord, brought you out of this place. No unleavened bread shall be eaten. And on this day, you are going out in the month of Abib. Remember, we talked about that last time. That's March, April. And it shall be when the Lord brings you into the land of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Hivites and the Jebusites, which he swore to your fathers to give you, a land flowing with milk and honey, that you shall keep this service in this month. So in other words, as we learned last time, that God is instituting now the Feast of the Unleavened Bread and also Passover. Here he's saying it's to be, I want you to remember this day, which celebrates their exodus, the removal from the land of Egypt. And so 7 days you shall eat unleavened bread. And on the seventh day there shall be a feast to the Lord. And unleavened bread shall be eaten 7 days, and no leavened bread shall be seen among you, nor shall leaven be seen among you in all your quarters. And you shall tell your son in that day, saying, this is done because of what the Lord did for me. What the Lord did for me when I came up from Egypt. You know, I would underline those words in your Bible where it says what the Lord did for me. I tell you, when I read that this morning and looked at that, it just jumped out on the page in my heart. And I start thinking every day, all these years now that I've been with the Lord, or I should say that he's been with me. I don't know that all of these years I've been certainly with him. I know that I haven't left, but you know what I mean. He's been with me every step of the way. He's been with you every step of the way. And all the things that he has done for me, all the things that he's done for you, all the things he's done for Calvary Chapel. Amen. I start thinking about that, and I tell you, you have to start celebrating. And I thank God, as I was speaking to a person today, talking about certain events in our life that were trials and testings and hurts and wounds. And like I said, every one of them, God never wastes any of our painful experiences. Amen. And I tell you what, that's what shaped us, molded us, and brought forth in us what God was making out of us. Amen. And I thank God for that, what God has done for me. When we celebrate communion tonight, we're going to remember that Christ is our Passover that's been sacrificed for us. And we're going to celebrate as that reminder until Jesus returns. And it says, it shall be a sign to you on your hand and as a memorial between your eyes, that the Lord's law may be in your mouth. For with a strong hand, the Lord has brought you out of Egypt, and you shall therefore keep this ordinance in its season from year to year. So God is telling them, don't ever forget this day, the day that I brought you out by a mighty hand, by a strong hand, meaning by my power, you've been delivered from slavery. He says, you keep this from year to year. Tell your kids about it and keep it in your heart. Keep it before your eyes. You know, the truth is that he commanded them to do that. But the fact of the matter is, you can be religious and it won't work. It has to become an inward reality. Amen. And that's so important. And it shall be when the Lord brings you into the land of the Canaanites. In other words, the promised land. As he swore to you and your fathers and gives it to you, that you shall set apart to the Lord all that opened the womb. That is, every firstborn that comes from an animal which you have, and the males shall be the Lord. Remember, the reason again is because they were spared during the plague, the 10th plague, and where all the firstborn God say there in the land of Goshen or the land of Israel there while they were in Egypt. And so God says, don't ever forget to honor the lamb. That's really what it's about, isn't it? Because, you know, remember what God said, when I see the blood of the lamb on the door, I'll pass over you and so forth. So they're giving their firstborn unto the Lord, meaning this, they're giving their best unto God. And you know, that's what God wants from us. He wants our best. We should give the Lord the best of everything we have. Amen. And he says, but every firstborn of a donkey, isn't that interesting? of a donkey, you shall redeem, or you shall buy, and here's how you're going to buy it. You'll buy it with a lamb. In other words, if you will not redeem it, in other words, redeeming the donkey, then you shall break its neck. How would you like to be that donkey, huh? You shall break its neck, and all the firstborn of man among your sons you shall redeem. So the Lord says, now the firstborn are mine, all of them, animals, males, every bit, they're all mine. He says, now, if that donkey, which is an unclean animal, right, can't use it for sacrifice, and it's a beast of burden, he says, now, if you want that donkey, you're going to have to redeem it. You're going to have to pay for it if you want to use it. Now, if you're not going to pay for it, then you're not going to get to keep it because it belongs to me. So you're either going to redeem it or you're going to destroy it. Think about that for a minute. I think that may be sometimes why when we don't give what we really should to the Lord, meaning our best, our using the gift that he's placed with me, or giving the Lord tithes, offerings, whatever. I think that's sometimes why it cost us. You know what I'm saying? Because see, it doesn't belong to us. It belongs to the Lord. And so shall it be when your son asks you in a time to come, saying, what is this? And that you shall say to him, by strength of hand, the Lord, by his power, in other words, the Lord brought us out of Egypt and out of the house of bondage. Boy, I want to tell you something. Let us never, ever, ever forget every nation, every tongue, every tribe that has come to the Lord. Never forget that it's never done by man. It's never done by religion. Amen. It's done only one way. There's only one way out of the house of bondage. And do you know what? We live on a planet full of slaves right now. They don't know they're slaves. They don't have spiritual life. They only have physical life. And you know what? You look at the bondage of so many people that don't know Christ. There's only one way out of slavery, sin, death, hell, whatever. And his name is Jesus Christ. There is absolutely no other name given among men or given under heaven that man by must be saved except the name of Jesus. Acts 4:12. Jesus himself said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except by me. And so it says, and it came to pass when Pharaoh was stubborn about letting us go, that the Lord killed all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both the firstborn of man and the firstborn of beast. Therefore, I sacrifice to the Lord all males that open the womb, but all the firstborn of my sons I redeem. Talking about later on, the sons will later on will learn that they are redeemed with silver, remember? And it says that it shall be a sign on your hand and frontlets between your eyes, for by the strength of the hand or by the power of the Lord, we were brought out of Egypt. Only by the blood, only by the power of God. Aren't you glad that we were not redeemed with such things as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Jesus? And he says, and then it came to pass when Pharaoh had let the people go, that God did not lead them by the way of the land of the Philistines. Now that would have been the shortest route to the promised land. He said, the reason here is although that was near, for God said, lest perhaps the people change their minds when they see war and return to Egypt. You know, don't you just love the Lord? You know, listen, folks, you know, we all go through things in our life and God knows what's ahead. And you know what? He will never let us be tempted or tried or tested above what we can take. Never. And that's why he says, no, they can't go. They're not going to be able to bear it. You know, the only enemy that they're going to face, the children of Israel here, the only enemy that they're really going to face for the next 40 years, because, you know, because of lack of faith, they didn't enter the promised land. So 40 years they're going to wander. And the only enemy they face in 40 years is their self, meaning the enemy of unbelief and doubt. Oh, how horrible that is. It says, and so God led the people around by the way of the wilderness of the Red Sea. And the children of Israel went up in orderly ranks out of the land of Egypt. Now, that's 2 million, probably 2 million plus people. And God, you know, God's not the author of confusion. He's the God of order. And it says they went up in orderly ranks. And Moses took the bones of Joseph with him, for he had placed the children of Israel under a solemn oath, saying, God will surely visit you, and you shall carry up my bones from here with you. So you remember Joseph's last command back all the way back in Genesis 50. He says that the Lord's going to visit you, and he certainly has, and he's going to take you out of this land. And when he does, man, don't forget my bones. 40 years, you know, they go out now, and Moses is going to carry those, that, you know, Moses, I mean, hello. Joseph, remember, is in a coffin. He's been embalmed, you know, and so forth. And so he's there in this that coffin type, that tomb, and he's going to be traveling with them now for 40 years in the wilderness. It's going to be all the way over in the time of Joshua before his coffin is ever laid to rest there in the promised land. And so it says, so they took their journey from Succoth and encamped in Etham on the edge of the wilderness. And I love this. And the Lord went before them. He's leading them out. This is the Exodus. And the Lord went before them by day. How? Well, in a pillar of cloud. The reason? To lead the way. And by night, look what he did. By night in a pillar of fire. And the reason? To give them light, so as to go by day and night. And he did not take away the pillar of cloud by day or the pillar of fire by night from before them. Listen to me, folks. That is a miracle. Amen? No. It wasn't two clouds. It was only one cloud, okay? Same cloud, just changed at night, changed during the day. They had the continuous, visible presence of God. Can you imagine that cloud covering all 2 million people? Read Psalm 121. The sun did not smite them by day. You know what I'm saying? No sun hitting me. How have you ever worked outside, say in the yard or construction in the summer or something, you know, and all of a sudden a cloud comes over and you go, oh, that's nice. And you're saying, please don't go away. You know, that's what's happening right here. God made his presence not only seen, God made his presence felt. Do you know that this was the only nation ever on earth, ever, that had that? And I think about that. I mean, can you imagine there in the evening and all of a sudden the cloud that was protecting you from the sun all of a sudden turned to a pillar of fire to give you that light at night? God was always there, never leaving you, never forsaking you, just like he promised. Listen to me, just because our risen Lord, just because we've lost his bodily presence doesn't mean we have lost his presence at all. Amen? Jesus, remember what he told us in Matthew 28:20? He said, lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. So be it. It's certain. It's going to happen. He's with us even right now. Now look at chapter 14. And he says here, and now the Lord spoke to Moses saying, speak to the children of Israel, and look, he's going to give divine directions now, that they turn and camp at a certain place between Migdol and the sea and opposite Baal Zephon, and you shall camp before it by the sea. Now, all these places are unknown. There's some place between the Nile River and the Red Sea. That's all we really know about it, okay? For Pharaoh will say of the children of Israel. Now watch what Pharaoh's going to say. Well, the children of Israel, they're bewildered by the land, and the wilderness has closed them in. Now what did that tell us? Even though Pharaoh had let them go, evidently he sent spies out, or maybe he's out there himself. I don't really know. But he knows all the activities of the children of Israel, doesn't he? And he loves it. He says, oh, why in the world would they go right to the Red Sea? They can't cross it. They're bewildered. They're lost. Their God has confused them. They're in big trouble. And he says, well, you know what? Since they're trapped, I might as well go after them. That's what he's going to do. You know, I'll tell you something. Pharaoh is just like Satan, because he constantly pursues those who have been freed from the house of bondage, and he tries to enslave them again. Aren't you glad that Jesus has set us free tonight? Not only is it not one weapon formed against us will prosper. Not even a tongue that rises up in judgment will ever condemn us. But the good news is tonight that I tell you, we are more than conquerors in Him who loved us. Amen. And we need to remember that. So look at Pharaoh's last lesson tonight. He says, "And then I will harden Pharaoh's heart." Why? Well, so that he will pursue them, and I will gain honor over Pharaoh and over all his army, that the Egyptians may know that I am the Lord, and they did so. And now it was told the king of Egypt that the people had fled, and the heart of Pharaoh and his servants was turned against the people, and they said, "Why have we done this?" You know, I would be going, "Thank God they are gone." You know, our land, I mean, it still stinks from the frogs, man. I mean, you know, it's horrible. The whole land is, I mean, the hail, there's not a tree that has a leaf on it. And I would be going, "Thank God that they're gone." He says, "No, why have we done this, that we've let Israel go from serving us?" In other words, our slaves are gone. Don't let them escape. So he made ready his chariot, took his people with him. Also, he took 600 choice chariots, in other words, the best, and all the chariots of Egypt, not some, but all of them, with captains over every one of them. And the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and he pursued the children of Israel. And the children of Israel, watch this now, went out with what? Boldness. Don't you love that? But the only problem with that, it's not going to last very long. You know, and you know, I mean, what a scene. I mean, when you think of that, this happened in a land called Egypt, folks. There really is a Red Sea. And there they are, 2 million plus people. Pardon me. And that didn't include all of the animals. Can you just see that? And then you got a cloud by day, a pillar of fire by night. And now you've got all of Egypt, the army, chasing you down. And it says, well, so the Egyptians pursued them, all the horses and chariots of Pharaoh, all of them, not some of them, but all of them, his horsemen, his army. And look what happened. And overtook the children of Israel camping by the sea of Phi-Heroeth before Baal-Zephon. And when Pharaoh drew near, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes and felt comfortable because they saw the cloud by day in God's presence, and they felt so safe. I hope the Lord doesn't smite me for adding to Scripture. No, and when Pharaoh drew near, the children of Israel, they lifted up their eyes, and behold, oh, the Egyptians marched after them, and they were so very afraid. And the children of Israel cried out to the Lord. Now, how in the world can you, in two scriptures, go from boldness to fear? I mean, think about this for a moment. Doesn't it bother you? I mean, I'm not saying we would do any better. But, I mean, after those 10 plagues, don't you think you'd have a little bit of a mindset? I mean, especially since the land of Goshen, there in Egypt, where the children of Israel were, they were spared all of this. And now they've come out of Egypt, they've plundered the Egyptians, all their silver and their gold. They have a pillar, a cloud by a day, a fire by night. And I would go, Lord, you know, how can they be filled with such unbelief? And the next verse is even worse. It's a heartbreaker. The children of Israel, look what they did now. God has freed them from bondage, from slavery. And then they said to Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, have you, okay, Moses, you taken us away to die in the wilderness. Anybody want to be in leadership? Why have you changed the children's church? Why have you? No, I'm just joking. Yeah, whoa, you know, you've got to be careful. You know what? Let me say something. I'll stop right there. You know what they should have been doing? They should have been praying instead of criticizing. They should have been praying for Moses, and I'm being honest. Why have you taken us out here in this wilderness to die, and why have you deceived us or dealt with us like this to bring us up out of Egypt? Is this not the word that we told you in Egypt, saying, oh, let us alone that we may serve the Egyptians, for it would have been better, better, better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. Isn't that a heartbreaker? In other words, Moses, it'd be better for us to remain a slave. Better for our firstborn to be thrown in the Nile River and drowned. Our males, our little baby boys. It would be better for us to be beaten and killed or maimed. It would be better to live in unbelief in the living God than to be set free. That is a heartbreaker, isn't it? And I look at that and say, oh Lord, you know what? They were just hours away from the greatest rescue escape or the greatest escape in the history of mankind. Amen? But we know that. We've read ahead. They didn't know that. But you know what I've learned from all of that myself, just personally, and I say it to you so often and I say it to others, is that when it is the roughest, when it is the darkest, when it is just, you know, I'm talking about everything is falling apart. That is when we need to say, I know God is doing something. I know that He's fighting for me. I know that I'm just going to stand still. I'm just going to stay right here. You know what? I'm not going to be full of fear. I'm going to have confidence in God. But they didn't. And the darker it gets, the greater our faith should become, knowing that God is doing something that we cannot see. You know, we walk by faith and not by sight. Amen. The promises of God, circumstances do not invalidate the promises of God, folks. Now, he says, and Moses said to the people, I love Moses here. He says, listen, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. He, you know, trust in the Lord. And that's what we need to do when we're up against a wall. He says, stand still. In other words, don't move a muscle. Don't even bat your eyelashes or any of that. Be still and know that I am God, the Lord says. Amen? So just stand still, and I love this, and see the salvation of the Lord. See the deliverance of the Lord. In other words, open up your eyes. Open up the eye of faith right now. Don't go by what you're seeing out here. Look to God. Look to Him right this minute. He says, and see the salvation of the Lord. Now watch this. Which He will, not you, which He will accomplish for you. And He even told us when. He said, today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall see again no more forever. Now, I'm going to tell you something. That is a man of faith. Amen? He's standing there. Listen, you got to get this picture. Who is the one who led them to the Red Sea? Who? God. Have you ever had God lead you to a Red Sea? In other words, how am I going to get across it? And you know what? Here are the children of Israel. You've got to understand, if you look at it geographically, here's the Red Sea in front of them. There's mountains, a mountain range to the right of them, a mountain range to the left of them, and behind them is guess who's coming? They see the dust in the air or whatever. It's those chariots, and Pharaoh is coming. In other words, there is absolutely no place to go. Listen to me now. There is only one way out of our problem, one way out of Egypt, and that is to follow the Lord. Amen? And that's why he says, Moses says in verse 14, he said, listen, the Lord will fight for you, and you shall hold your peace. In other words, be quiet. Shut up. I think that may be a little strong, but I'm just adding to it, okay? And the Lord said to Moses, why do you cry to me? And I'm going, Moses, you just had one of the greatest speeches I've ever heard. And the Lord's like, why are you crying to me, Moses? Tell the children of Israel to go forward. In other words, stop looking at Egypt. Stop looking at the dilemma. You know, don't move back. Go forward. Listen to me. How do we cross our Red Seas? Because we're going to have them. How do we, when the circumstance, I mean, it's absolutely, it looks impossible. When there's no way, what do we do? How do we cross the Red Sea? I'll tell you how. We go forward. You know, so many people, they succumb, Christians, and I'm not beating on anybody. I'm just being honest with you. We've all succumbed to our circumstances, haven't we? You know, where the circumstances beat us up and they win and they rule us and they torture us and we let fear and all the things come against us in our life. God says, listen, be quiet. Be still. In other words, shut up. Just calm down. Don't be afraid. Well, you're getting ready to see the salvation of the Lord. You're getting ready to see a great deliverance in your life. How do you cross the Red Sea? You have to go forward. Whenever that circumstance is there, you don't listen and you're going, you know, you get up in the morning, the alarm clock goes off and you say, I'm just going to pull the covers over my head. I'm not going to face this day. God says, get out of bed. Get out of it right now. Get in there and comb your hair and brush your teeth and put on some clothes and shave your face if you're a man. And go forward. You move forward into the day, into the hour that you have, knowing that I am always going to be your rear guard. I am always going to be there for you. That I'm never, ever, you're never going to be alone. I don't have a visible pillar of fire at night with me, and I certainly don't have a cloud by day, and I would welcome it in this hot Texas sun. But he's there. And he is the one, the steps of a righteous man or order are established by the Lord. He is leading us. He's leading us and guiding us. He loves us. And I look at that and I say, I know how to cross the Red Sea now. Lord, I have to go forward when I can't seem to do it. I'm not going to let it kill me when I'm surrounded by everything. There's no way out. I'm just going to wake up that morning. I'm going to have my prayer time regardless of the way I feel. And I'm going to move forward into the love and the grace of my Lord. Amen. And God says to Moses, lift up your rod, stretch out your hand over the sea and divide it. Now, you know, we read that and we go, well, that sounds pretty simple, doesn't it? Do you ever just wonder about that? I mean, can you see it? I mean, can you imagine that happening right now? You know, just lift up your hand. There you go. Put that rod over there, Moses, and just divide the sea. Sure, Lord, nothing to it. Sounds great, okay? And the children of Israel, look what happened. It happened. And the children of Israel go on what? Dry ground through the midst of the sea. And I will harden the heart of the Egyptians and they shall follow them. So I shall gain honor over Pharaoh and over all of his army, his chariots, his horsemen. And then the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord when I have gained honor for myself over Pharaoh, his chariots, and his horsemen. Now look what happened. And the angel of the Lord, which I believe to be the pre-incarnate Christ, okay? When the angel of the Lord, look what he did. He went where? Before the camp of Israel and moved and then what? Went behind them. And the pillar of cloud went from before them and stood behind them. In other words, God placed himself in between Israel and Egypt. Are you listening to me? Oh, I look at that and I'm going, you know, whenever we don't have anything to do, God says, listen, I've got you covered. You can go forward. Don't worry about it. I'm going to protect you. You're going to make it. And so it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel. The angel of the Lord did. And thus it was look what happened in this cloud. Now, it was a cloud and darkness to the one, meaning to Egypt. And it gave light by night to the other, meaning Israel. So that the one did not come near the other all that night. Isn't God amazing? Can you imagine the Egyptians out there? We got to find them. I know they're here someplace. But you see, God says, you're not going to find them. There's going to be darkness to you. The world's in darkness. Egypt is in darkness. But God's children are never in darkness, are we? No, we're the light of the Lord. We're the light of the world. And you know, the Bible says in Isaiah 58:8, it says this. It says that your light shall break forth like the morning, and your healing shall come forth speedily, and your righteousness shall go before you, and the glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. And so we look at this, and it says, darkness to Egypt, light to the children of Israel, so that the one did not come near the other all that night. And then Moses stretched out his hand over the sea. In other words, God was giving them time for all this had to take place. And the Lord caused the sea to go back, how? By a strong east wind all that night, and made the sea into dry land, and the waters were divided. You know, when we think of this, the waters were divided, and it had to be enough for 2 million people at least to cross. And not only that, all the animals that were going to cross with them. That is just unbelievable. And it says, and so the children of Israel, now watch this, they went into the midst of the sea. See, how do you cross the Red Sea? How do you cross your problem? You just go into it. You just keep walking. And they went into the midst of the sea on what? The dry ground. And the waters were a wall to them on their right hand and on their left. Is that cool or what? No, come on. Can you imagine going, look at that fish right there. And you know, man, let's get a couple of those for lunch later on. And I mean, think about that. I mean, I look at that and I go, Lord, this is incredible. You talk about a strong east wind. That was just unbelievable. I'm going to ask you a question. How is it that 2 million plus people could go through the Red Sea and end up being such a faithless bunch? You ever wonder about that? I mean, it just boggles my mind. Do you know there was really, I know there was more people than Moses who believed God, but you know who really believed God? Moses. He's the one. You know, let me read from the New Testament about this event. It says in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 1, it says, moreover, brethren, Paul writes, I do not want you to be unaware that all of our fathers were under the cloud, and they all passed through the Red Sea, and were all baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. Now, when we think of baptism, we immediately think of water, don't we? Water baptism, being immersed and so forth. And, you know, water baptism, of course, speaks with our identification with Christ. When he died, we died. When he was buried, we were buried. When he was raised, we were raised and so forth. Our identification with Christ, our position in Christ. And many people, this scripture that I just read, they interpret this as a reference to water baptism. I'm not being critical of that, but I don't. I don't at all, because it says they were all baptized into Moses. Well, how did that happen? I mean, in other words, if they were in the Red Sea, did Moses have a baptismal service there in the Red Sea? Do a little sprinkling? He said, here, we've got a wall of water here. Do you understand what I'm saying? You know, no, it didn't happen. I mean, because the Bible says that they went across on dry ground. They didn't even get muddy, folks. Matter of fact, they didn't even get wet. They didn't even get wet at all. And so I looked and I said, well, Lord, what is the identification then? Because how did they identify with Moses when they went by the cloud and into the Red Sea? Well, let me give it to you. It says in Hebrews 11:29, it says, by faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, whereas the Egyptians attempted to do so and were drowned. I'm going to ask you a question. Whose faith really took them through the Red Sea? Moses' faith. In other words, they went through the faith of another. Let me tell you something. We need to be people that are strong in our faith. Amen? Because you're leading people. You're taking people someplace. And if you're in fear and all the time doubting and questioning the promises of God, you're actually taking people away from that. Listen, they went through on the faith of another, and it was the faith of Moses. So look at verse 23 now. And the Egyptians pursued and went after them. And look what they did. It says they went after them into the midst of the sea, all of Pharaoh's horses, his chariots, his horsemen. Now, let me just read one verse over here. And it came to pass in the morning watch. Now that's from 3 a.m. to dawn. Now let's go back to verse 23. It says they went into the midst of the sea. This is what I think here. I think they were confused. I think it was dark. I think when they were following, because they were pursuing the children of Israel, I think they just kept following. They didn't even probably see the wall of water. Are you listening to me? They just knew they were on dry ground, and they didn't have a clue that they were in the middle of the Red Sea. Not, and that's what I think. And so they were completely unaware that they were actually on the floor bed, if that's how you would say it, the bed of the Red Sea, and it was dry ground. They didn't have a clue that they were literally in the midst of a supernatural miracle. And it says, so it came to pass in the morning watch, again, 3 a.m. to about daylight, that the Lord looked down on the army of the Egyptians through the pillar of fire and a cloud. I wonder if right there that all of a sudden the cloud that had been darkness to the Egyptians, maybe it became light and they went, oh my, are we in trouble? How did we get in the middle? Look at the walls of water, because look what it says. It says, suddenly it says, and it said, Lord looked upon the army of the Egyptians through the pillar of fire and cloud. And it says, he troubled the army of the Egyptians. And look what the Lord did. This is so cool. And he took off their chariot wheels. I just love that. I mean, every time I read that, I just crack up. He took off their chariot wheels so that they drove them with difficulty. And the Egyptians said, look what they said now. Oh man, let us flee from the face of Israel. Why? For the Lord fights for them against the Egyptians. The problem is, it's too late, isn't it? They don't know that, but it's too late. They're not going to have another chance. Their life is over. You know, listen, folks, the battle is the Lord's. They just said that. The Lord fights for them. We already preached a message, remember, that the Lord fights for you. He fights for you. He loves you. He's not going to give you up. He's not going to let you go. He's going to get you through. He's going to always get you through. Whenever we are faithless, the Bible said, he remains faithful. God is so awesome. He's so good tonight. And then it says, then the Lord said to Moses, stretch out your hand over the sea and that the waters may come back upon the Egyptians and their chariots and on their horsemen. And Moses stretched out his hand over the sea. And when the morning appeared, look what happened. The sea returned to its what? That's important. Full depth while the Egyptians were fleeing into it. So the Lord overthrew the Egyptians in the midst of the sea. Then the waters returned, and what did they do? Covered the chariots, the horsemen, and all the army of Pharaoh that came into the sea after them. Not so much as one of them remained. You know, you hear of people saying that this, you know, there's no way that this could have happened. You know, they crossed actually over another area of the Red Sea and you know, it was just an inch of water and so forth. You've heard all that nonsense. Well, the Bible is very clear. It says the sea returned to its full depth. It says it covered the chariots. It's kind of hard to drown in an inch of water. You know what I mean? Where do people come up with this nonsense? You know, the Bible, the psalmist has written in Psalm 106:11, the waters covered their enemies and there was not one of them left. And look at verse 29. But the children of Israel had walked on dry land in the midst of the sea, and the waters were a wall to them on their right hand and on their left. So the Lord saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians, and Israel saw the Egyptians dead on the seashore. Someone once said this. They said, if you will let God fight for you, all your enemies will finally wash ashore. I like that. I wrote that down. I said, that's a good saying. I like that. Listen, Pharaoh, what Pharaoh had sown, he's now reaping, isn't he? Remember, he commanded that all the little male children, you know, that to be drowned there in the Nile. Well, now you know what? All his army and him and everyone else, they're all dead. They're just floating around. They're washing to shore. And it says, thus Israel saw the great work which the Lord had done in Egypt. And look what happened, the result of it now. So the people feared the Lord. Boy, praise God. And look what else. And believed the Lord, but they also believed someone else. They accepted someone's leadership. And it says, they believed the Lord and his servant, Moses. Church, as we prepare for communion tonight, as those that are coming to serve us come down and so forth, listen very carefully. Let's not live like they live. You know, the Bible says that this was all written as an example for us, you know, the Old Testament and so forth. I don't want to live between one day I'm in faith and the other day I'm in unbelief. Amen? I don't want to live like that. I don't want to, one day I'm trusting God, the next day I'm complaining about everything. I don't want to live like that. I tell you what, I want to cross the Red Sea, meaning my circumstance, meaning your circumstance. You know, faith is always meeting a mountain. Amen? Have you ever noticed that? Faith, that's what faith does. It's always meeting a mountain. And if, like the Lord said, if you say unto that mountain, be thou removed and cast into the sea, it will be done what you have asked. Well, you know what? He's not talking about casting mountains into the sea. So there's, you know, Mount McKinley over there. Let's just throw it in the ocean or whatever. No. He's talking about the mountains that come into our life, our problems. And we need to be a people that is not double-minded. And I'll tell you what I believe. I believe with all my heart, if we'll not be double-minded, if we'll believe the Lord, we're going to see all of our circumstances and our troubles, eventually, they're going to wash up right on the shore in front of us. And they're going to be dead. They're going to be dead. They're not going to be alive. They're going to be dead. And we're going to say, we didn't do it. Our Lord did it for us because we trusted Him, because we moved forward instead of moved back. You know, the Bible tonight is our hearts are prepared for communion. And I read the passage that I read every time we have communion. Paul writes to us and he says, for I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, he took bread. And when he had given thanks, when Jesus had given thanks, he broke it. He broke the bread and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. He says, this is my body, which is broken for you. Amen? Broken for you. Jesus said, I want you to do something. I want you to remember my death. I want you to remember my death and all that it means. I want you to look at me on the cross and realize that I took all of your sin and your guilt and your shame. Amen? Remember what we learned about God when he delivered the children of Israel there in the 10th plague? He said, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. He didn't say, when I see your faith, or when I see your unbelief, or when I see how much you pray, when I see how much you give, when I see how much you serve. He didn't speak of our condition at all, did he? He says, when I see the blood of the Lamb, the cup of the new covenant. Amen? He says, I'm going to pass over you. Jesus says here, well, this is my body, which is broken for you. I want you to do this. I want you to do this tonight. I want you to do it in remembrance of me. The one who loved us and gave himself for us that he might deliver us from this present evil world. Oh, to be born again. Amen. To be a new creation in Christ. To know that the plans that God has for us are so wonderful, so incredible, so perfect. How could we ever doubt him? How could we ever think that God is not going to come to our rescue? And if we have to go through some bad things in our life, you know what, folks? Listen to me. It makes us better. It doesn't make us worse. Amen? Oh, it makes us better. It makes us stronger. When we have tribulation, the God of all comfort who gives us that comfort in our tribulation so we can comfort those who are going through it as well. I love the Lord. I wish I loved him more. I wish I served him better. I wish I was a better Christian. I wish that none of my heart was a part of anything but Him. That I would not loan my heart out to anyone or any lust or any foreign pleasure. That my heart would never harbor bitterness or unforgiveness. That I could say, Lord Jesus, my whole heart belongs to You. Every bit of it. Because I promise You that Jesus' heart is consumed with You tonight. There's not been a moment that He's not thought about you. You've never left the mind of God, the heart of God, never once since God has been, and He has always been. Always been. You have been, you're like you heard me teach, your name is as eternal as God because you have always been in the heart and the mind of God. You're pretty old. So tonight as we look back, we look back. We look back to the cross. We say, oh Lord, thank You. Thank You for coming to this planet. Thank You for dying for me, my sin, my rebellious nature, my fallen nature. So Lord, tonight as we hold this bread in our hand, from the bottom of our heart, Lord, as we look back at our Savior who died for us, we give You thanks. And what we do now, we do in remembrance of You, Jesus. We partake of the bread as a family. How we love You tonight. Let us partake in Jesus' name. It says, in the same manner, He also took the cup after supper, saying, This cup is the new covenant in My blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of Me, for as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till He comes. So we look back at the cross and we look ahead at His coming. Amen. Jesus is coming. He's coming for us. He really is. And you know what? Heaven is going to be so incredible. I'm talking about getting rid of this junk, these bodies, these old fallen, all of this junk. We'll never have an impure thought, an impure motive. We're going to be like our Lord. Where there be no more sin, no more shame, no more crying. We're going to be with Him forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. Folks, that's real. That's real. We're not going to taste death. He tasted it for us. We're going to move right into heaven. You know why? Because of the blood. Because of the blood of the Lamb. He's taken our sin. He's taken our place. And you know what God has done? He's now given unto us, because we're believers in Christ, He's imparted to us Christ Jesus' perfect, spotless, sinless record. And when I see the blood, God says, the blood of His Son, I'll pass over you. I don't see your condition. I see you perfect in My Son. Amen? That's what this cup means tonight. We've been redeemed. We're no longer slaves to sin. We're no longer in the house of bondage. We have a home in glory, paid for by our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So what we do tonight, O Father, we do in remembrance, O Lord, of our Savior Jesus Christ. We partake tonight the cup of the new covenant, the blood, and all that has accomplished and all that has done for us. We love you and we praise you. In Jesus' name, let us partake. We just worship you, Lord. We praise you tonight in this house. Our hearts just, we just abandon our hearts to you. We let all the cares and all the worries and the plans of tonight and tomorrow, we let them fade away. And for these next few seconds, for this 1 minute even, we honor you. We celebrate you, Jesus, our great and faithful high priest who sits there at the right hand of God at that throne of grace. We praise you. We honor you. Oh, Lord, we love you tonight. Send revival to this church. Send your Holy Spirit, oh God, and as a mighty rushing wind to this church. And let this place become rivers, rivers of living water. I love you, Lord. And I love this church. Thank you. In Jesus' name. And the church says, amen.